well. It was so good to go and see that there's other guys out there who worship God, and sometimes you kind of feel a little alone, but it's always good to feel that there's actually other people out there that are doing the same thing you're doing. And the fellowship was great. It was just awesome all around.
Message in that song. Thank God we do find ourselves at a loss for words, but that's okay. Two ears and one mouth. Shut up once in a while and let the Lord speak to you. Amen. Amen. Thank God that we can have the word of the Lord minister to us in such a powerful way again and again, no matter what setting, no matter what format, the word of the Lord just can speak. Thank God for that blessing. Remember, there's leadership meeting tonight at 6, and the Mother's Memorial Auction is not next Sunday. It is not the first Sunday. We have Brother Lamas with us then, And we want to give adequate time for the move of the Holy Ghost without distractions of all of these wonderful things that you bring for the auction. So, we'll move that to August 10th, okay? Or August, my goodness, I'm really in summer mode, ain't I? I put on a summer or spring outfit so that the weather would get the hint and start changing. I'm really in the summer mode. April 10th. Everybody say April 10th. I will try to remember that it is April 10th and not August 10th. So April 10th, our Mother's Memorial Auction. And what great items you brought this last time, and what a great response. And we're off to a roaring start in Mother's Memorial fundraising, and trust that that will continue. Brother Lamas will be with us this Thursday. And then our prayer time on Saturday, 6 to 10. And that's always a powerful time, and we look forward to that. And then Brother Lamas will be teaching on prayer again on Sunday the 3rd. And we're expecting God to move by His Spirit. Praise God. And trust the Lord will do that work as He continues again and again. Thank God. James, I believe, has scripture to share today. And we want him to come and share that. I would appreciate so much Brother and Sister Pizarro being there to help with, come on, James, to help with visiting with Grant and ministering to him. And he is doing so much better. He's not out of the woods yet, not by a long shot. We still have a lot of prayer to offer for him, but God is doing a work. Praise God. And I trust that it's going to continue. God bless you, James.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. And I had two things on my heart in the past, well, semester or two, and I had to pick one. So I picked one of them, and it makes sense in here, so I'm going to try to make it sense when it comes out. So the scripture is actually Psalms chapter 18, verse 2. And it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And that pretty much means he's our protection and our salvation. He's who we rely on to protect us in this world. In my EMT class, the very first day we learned how to take on and off gloves. Really kind of silly what you think. And I thought it was silly. I didn't have the big picture. And every day forward, if we were practicing anything, we had to put on gloves. And we call that BSI. It's called body substance isolation. And so we practice our skill sheets, which are going to end up being in the practical exam. It's going to be about like 12 stations. It's going to take about 8 hours. And if you forget to wear your gloves, you automatically fail. Gloves and goggles and all your protection gear. And so in class, when we really don't need to wear gloves, there's no danger of getting sickness, because I really don't think anyone in that room has meningitis or hepatitis that we have to worry about. But we're practicing. We're making it a habit. We're ingraining it in our mind to wear these gloves every single day. It's become second nature to where we don't even have to think about it. And I've been thinking a lot lately that a lot of the times when we get struck by a battle or a struggle in our spiritual walk with God or in our life, we start praying. We start reading our Bible, which is great. But why not make it a habit beforehand? Prepare before that happens. Remember to get your protection on, to trust in God before you need it. Because if you go out into the field and you forget your gloves or your mask and you don't realize that that person's got a sickness, it's over. I mean, you just probably lost your career if you get hepatitis C. It's the same thing with God. And in my walk with God, there's two particular situations that kind of, it dawns on you that, oh, wow, you know, you didn't see the big picture. And the first one is you get taught ever since you're younger in youth camps to get out of your comfort zone, and you don't really know why. And I just did it because you're told to, right? You know, and it's really uncomfortable because it's out of your comfort zone. And I like my comfort zones. In my classrooms, I will sit in a certain seat so I can see everybody. I'm comfortable. If I sit in the wrong spot, I can't think. So when you get out of your comfort zone, because when I'm on here, I'm usually holding on to this, and it's kind of like my comfort zone. But when you get away from it, now I don't have my comfort zone, so what am I going to rely on? I'm going to rely on what is, I'm making my habit. I'm going to rely on God to be my comfort zone when I don't have this pulpit, when I don't have my comfort zone. And so that dawned on me why we have a comfort zone. The second situation that I realized that God protected is that he can really prick you in your heart to do something when he wants you to make you hungry for God, even before you're hungry for God. So it's really kind of great. All you got to do is be willing to follow and not resist, really. But a few years ago, quite a few years ago, I'm getting older, something pricked me in my heart, and I really wanted to know why I believe what I believe. And it was the strongest hunger I've ever felt in my life, and I literally read the whole New Testament and studied it in probably 2 weeks. I mean, I was hours reading, and I didn't know why. And God set it up perfectly. I didn't know why, but he was ingraining in me a habit, a second nature, to know why I believe what I believe, to go to the Word when I don't know something, when something is fighting me. And it ended up that just, I think, 3 months when I got done studying, my sister left the church. And that would have been really, really hard if I hadn't had that ingraining. It would have really shook in my walk with God. And so we'll read the verse again. The Lord is my rock. He is my protection. He is my gloves. He is my fortress. He's the mass that's going to protect you from family members who are leaving, who are telling you that what you're doing is wrong, not to your face, but because they're leaving. So, you know, your big sister's like, it's not true anymore. So you got your fortress, who is God, and he's my deliverer, to deliver me from the situation when it happens. He's my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler. He's going to hold my shoes. He's going to hold everything together on me. And he is the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So really the gist of this from what I'm learning is that you just got to make it habit before any of that happens and go with what God tells you to do, because there's going to be battle down the road you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you got to protect yourself that way. So,
amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise God. I'm glad he is my. In those seven terms that the psalmist uses, that God is ministering to him in that regard, he made sure it was something that he was fostering as a relationship, increasing as a power and a protection. Thank the Lord. It wasn't lackadaisical about it. It wasn't, oh, well, whatever. No, he's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my salvation. Amen. And I think that's the way we need to approach it. Thank God. Is that selfish? No, not at all. It's just making sure you have something to give. You can't give what you don't have. Amen. And that's not just finances. It comes with a relationship with God. You got to have something to pass on to your children. Let God give you what you need so that you can have something to pass on. Thank God. That's the key. And thank God that we can know his power and blessing today. Let's stand as we turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and I'll just ask Sister Glover for a quick testimony as well from a trip to Ketchikan.
That's right.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise God. And that need of letting the next generation know is so important. That really is the only thing that you're going to leave behind. Amen. Your house is going to fall apart. Your car is going to break down. Your clothes are going to be moth-eaten. But your children, amen, are going to step into the tomorrow that you will never see. Thank God. That's what's important. Thank God that we can pass on the word of the Lord. That's what's eternal. Amen. Matthew 4 and verse 1, we won't read the whole temptation. I just want to read the first three verses and then share with you a thought that the Lord gave me while we were in Ketchikan and how we were able to see from the standpoint that Ketchikan is one big rock, just a big rock. I was so amazed when we moved up here to be driving down the highway and see piles of sand. You don't see that in Ketchikan because it's rock. If you see sand, it has been made that way, or gravel or whatever. And yet it's so, you know, common to see gravel and sand up here. Not so in Ketchikan. So that ministered to me. Let's read the first three verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And so I thought about stones, and certainly there's an abundance of them as we drove the short highways of Ketchikan. I used to think they were quite long, but we kind of laughed about how you could be just about anywhere in 12 and a half minutes. Took a little longer than that, but it's a different perspective now. But how the Lord could change things. How he could turn stones into whatever he wanted. Praise God. The devil was mocking him in this instance. Okay, if you're the Son of God, let's see what you can do. You're hungry. You haven't had anything to eat for 40 days. Make these bread. And he did so in a challenging and mocking way. But thank the Lord, we know what our God can do. Amen, in turning us into what he wants us to be. You may be seated. When you consider stones, there's an abundance of them in the Bible record. I just kind of was letting my mind flow through the scriptures and land on these instances of stones, and the first one I thought of is Jacob. How many of you have trouble sleeping? It's just difficult to get in the right comfortable position, or you've got too much on your mind, and you've got so many concerns. I know that the scripture says, and I turn to it, that he neither sleeps nor slumbers. And I thought, there's no sense in both of you being up. If he doesn't sleep and doesn't slumber, you go ahead and go to sleep. You let him worry about things. Amen. That's easier said than done. We know that. But I thought about Jacob in Genesis 28, how he had to flee from the wrath of his brother Esau. And he is out now in the wilderness by himself. And he doesn't know that God is there, but God is about to reveal himself. However, Jacob is very tired. He's weary in body. He doesn't have a nice sleeping bag. He doesn't have an inflatable pillow. He doesn't have any of that. In fact, the Bible says he arranges some stones for a pillow. I don't know how he fell asleep. He must have really been tired. But he eventually did, and God revealed himself in a vision or a dream at that time and let him know, I'm here with you. Praise God. In our most difficult times, never forget, the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank God that even though we may be uncomfortable, we may be going through hardship, we may be fatigued and exhausted and at our wit's end, as it were, I'm thankful God is there to minister to us. Praise the Lord. Moses was a leader of the people of Israel. There was a battle that was going on. As long as he extended his staff, the battle went in favor of the Israelites. When he became weary, he became exhausted, the staff began to drop, his arms began to droop, the battle went against the Israelites. Thank God there were some men who realized what was going on, and they quickly went one side and the other with Moses. Aaron held up one arm, Hur held up the other arm, and they sat him down on a stone and stood there holding his arms up so that the battle went in favor of the Israelites. Thank God for these men who are making it a purpose in their lives. They're going to pray. They're going to connect 15. They're going to recognize how valuable their place and position is in the spiritual realm as leaders of their family, leaders in the church, leaders in the spiritual realm. And they're going to hold up the hands of the pastor and recognize we can win the battle. We don't have to let the world come in against our families. We don't have to lose our young people to the corruption that's in the world through lust. We don't have to just let church be dead and dull and like a dungeon. Thank God the power of God can come forth and move in a wonderful way because there are men who would say, I'm going to be a man of prayer. I'm going to be a man of the Word of God. I'm going to be a man of principle and morality. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so victory came with the battle. Oh, yeah, there's got to be a battle if there's going to be a victory. But thank God our God is a God of victory. Hallelujah. And he will bring us through. Ebenezer is a term or a name usually associated with Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol. And at Christmas time, we are inundated with the telling of that tale. But long before Charles Dickens came up with his tale, there was a truth in the Word of God that included Ebenezer. Praise God. Samuel recognized the Lord's help was invaluable. It was so precious. It was so powerful that he even named a stone Ebenezer. Ebenezer means, according to the Word of God, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I'm thankful there can be monuments that we look back on and say, the Lord brought me through that difficulty. The Lord was there to deliver. The Lord was there to answer prayer. The Lord was there to teach me, to guide me, to help me, to empower me, to bring me through. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Thank God that we're able to have those monuments. We're able to have those memorials. We're able to look back and say, my God was there for me, and I'm not going to forget it. Praise God. Especially since the word of the Lord says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was there to help in that bygone hour, thank God he'll be here today. If he's here today, and thank God we can feel his presence, I know we can face tomorrow recognizing my God will be there. Amen. He'll help us. Now, when you think about a stone, verses like Isaiah 28 and 16 that have repetition of the aspect of a stone included in reference to whom we know to be the Messiah, Jesus. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. This is Isaiah 28:16. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, you're not going to be hurried. You're not going to be rushed. You're not going to be making decisions without a strong foundation and a place of, where you're aware of all that is going to happen and all that is going to take place. God will lead you into the right place. Thank God he is the foundation stone. He is the tried stone. He is a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The NIV renders that last phrase, the one who trusts will never be dismayed. Thank God that we can put our trust in the Lord. And we recognize in the New Testament, Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. They crucified him, but he rose from the dead. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Not just a fable, not just a legend, not just a story, but a reality that we can live today. In Acts 4:10, the apostle said, "Be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." And here's this man, 40 years old, had never taken a step in his life. But now the apostles are declaring, look at him. He's leaping, he's walking, he's praising God. He's walking right along with us. Because God, who raised Jesus from the dead, would use the power of that name to bring about a healing that you've never seen before. Thank God that we can recognize what the living God can do, the powerful God who resurrected the Lord from the dead. This is the stone, the apostle went on in verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. You rejected him. You pushed him aside. You ignored the miracles. You discounted his teaching. You pushed away his truth. But God hath made him the cornerstone. Thank God that we don't have to push him away or reject him or argue or analyze or debate. We can hold on to the truth and know what the Word of God says. He is the chief cornerstone. Upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. The rock of revelation is what he is talking about. Peter had just declared, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord is saying, it's that rock that I'm going to build my church on. What you said, Peter, it's not going to be you, Peter, but it's what you've said, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I am the living God incarnate. I am God manifest in the flesh. I am the one who came with a name above every name, and there's no other salvation than any other. Thank God for the power of that name. And that's what the apostles went on to say in verse 12 of Acts 4 as they made their defense before the Sanhedrin. Those who would reject, those who would cast him aside, those who would say, no, he's not our cornerstone. Thank God that we can know the power of the Lord to bring about a change for us. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And thank God we can know the power of that salvation. That salvation required a great price, crucified, a torturous death, lacerations and blood loss from the whip that fell upon his back and the crown of thorns that was crushed upon his brow, the 6 hours upon the cross. He did not swoon, as some would say. He did not fake death. If we could use a common phrase, when he was taken down from the cross, he was stone dead. That's right. And they took him to a tomb that was hewed out of stone. They laid him in there. Never had a body been placed in there before. Joseph of Arimathea had that prearranged for him, but he said, I want to put my Lord in there. The Romans, the Jews, wanted to make sure that the tomb was secure, and they rolled that large stone in front. The Roman government placed its seal. I don't know what was more formidable, the stone itself or the seal of the Roman Empire. I suppose both would be almost impossible to deal with. But thank God my Lord knows how to deal with impossibilities. He knows how to deal with things that we look at and wonder how in the world are we going to remove that stone. Those precious ladies that came at the early morning hours to prepare his body for final burial, they were discussing among themselves, how are we going to deal with that stone? Who is going to roll the stone aside for us? How are we going to have access to the tomb? But thank God, while they were asking that question, the Lord was already sending the answer. Isn't that the truth of how many times we deal with situations and we wonder how it's going to turn out? We wonder what the answer is. Our God has already stepped on the scene and done the work. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Amen. Who will roll away the stone for us? And behold, there was a great earthquake, the Bible says. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. As if to say, took care of that. No problem. No difficulty. I like the way it can be just a statement in the gospel record that the stone was moved when they came. One, I like the way this passage in Matthew 28 and 2 describes it in such sensational ways. An earthquake, an angel, the stone being rolled with all of its noise, you know, of stone rubbing against stone and the creaking and the groaning and so on. And then he just sat on it. Praise God. Whether it's a statement or whether it's sensational, I believe God can step in and minister to the needs that we bring before Him that seems so impossible, that seems so difficult. It seems like it's never going to work out. There's not going to be an answer. There's no way it can happen. But my God does the impossible just as if it is nothing. Thank God for the power of the Lord to bring about a change in our circumstances. Now, this is what I want to preach about. The changes that God can make. Amen. Peter said, you are lively stones. You're lively stones. You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. A spiritual house. Spiritual sacrifices. That's to be our emphasis. We emphasize the physical so much. God help us to turn to the spiritual and recognize that's what's eternal. That's what's everlasting. All of the things that we deal with in the natural are temporal. They're temporary. They're here just for a little while. And then we've got to move into the eternal. God help us to emphasize the spiritual house, the spiritual sacrifices. Peter went on in this passage of his letter, 1 Peter 2. He went on to quote from Isaiah 28:16, that passage that we read. He was a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a foundation stone, and so on. He also quoted from Psalm 118:22. I like the way the apostles stay with the Word of God. Amen. That's got to be our challenge. That's got to be our direction. That's got to be our commitment. I'm going to stay with the Word of God. Amen. And so he went on and talked about him being the cornerstone. Thank the Lord. We can choose that cornerstone. Because the apostle went on in verse 8, 1 Peter 2, he can become a stone of stumbling. He can be a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the Word, being disobedient. They stumble at the Word of God. Jesus is a rock of offense to them. Not a strong rock like James shared today in the scripture. No, they're offended by it. They don't want to. They back away from him. They don't want to have that personal relationship. They're stumbling and they're offended. That's what disobedience costs. Disobedience costs too much. Way too much. It causes the stumbling. It causes being offended. But thank God the Lord can bring a change in our lives. Hallelujah. Brother Bartlett showed that scripture from Ezekiel 11 and 19. How that the Lord said, I will take out a stony heart. I will put in a heart of flesh. He repeated it again. Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to take the hardness out. I'm going to take the difficulty, the harshness out, and I'm going to put a sensitive heart within you. Amen. Sensitive to his spirit, sensitive to his word, desiring and hungering and thirsting for the things of the Lord. Thank God for a new heart and a new spirit that can come by a new birth. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That's what God wants us to focus on. I'll take a stony heart out. Praise God. You can choose what kind of soil you're going to be according to the Word of God. Jesus spoke the parable of the sower. And it was a very common scene. As he described it, people can imagine what they had done in sowing seed in their gardens or their fields. Or they can imagine the farmer in their mind as he went along. And after he had tilled the ground, after he had cultivated it, after he had taken care of it, he's sowing. The sower went forth to sow. The seed fell in certain grounds. It fell in the wayside. It fell in stony ground. It fell among thorns. And it fell on good ground. So they're wondering, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Tell us the parable. And so the Lord did. The wayside is ground where Satan comes and quickly takes the word of the Lord out of people's hearts. The stony ground is ground that doesn't allow root access. And it springs up quickly, but there's no root. And when there's persecution and when there's affliction, and don't doubt that the Word of God can produce those kinds of things as well. Because you're dealing with an enemy of your soul. An enemy that's got consequences far beyond any terrorist or any other faction that could come against you. There's an enemy that you've got to fight. And he brings affliction and persecution because of the word of God. But that same word is going to bring deliverance. Hallelujah. God said, I sent my word and delivered them from all their destructions. Thank God for the power of the word of the Lord. That stony ground is a problem because it allows no root and no endurance. Those seeds that fell among thorns are the example of the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for things. They choke the word. But thank God there's good ground. Amen. And it brings forth 30, 60, 100-fold. 100-fold? That's quite a production. That's quite an increase. God can do it. God can give you favor. God can bring deliverance. God can lift you up. Praise God. Choose to be the right kind of ground. Not the stony ground. Not the wayside. Not the thorns. The good ground. God, let my heart be good ground. Hallelujah. I want to see the increase that you give. Praise God. The power of the Lord that can be revealed. Determined to hold on to the word of the Lord. Praise God. Turn these stones into bread, he said. Command that they be made into bread. Well, the Lord's not going to turn stones into bread for entertainment. He's not going to do it for self-gratification. Sometimes we need to understand what we're praying for and pray according to the word of God. Not for our entertainment, not for our self-gratification, not for, you know, things that would just make it easy for me, God. Huh. Not easy. Not easy at all. But God will bring comfort. God will bring strength. Amen. God will turn your circumstances around. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I need every word. Amen. I need his word. I need his touch. Praise God. John was preaching to the Pharisees, the Sadducees that came. He called them a generation of vipers. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Don't you think, he said, that because you're children of Abraham, you can boast about your heritage and your legacy, and you think you got it made? John said, God can turn these stones into children of Abraham. God can do it. God can turn things around. Hallelujah. And sure enough, the Pharisees were doing that very same thing in John chapter 8. Three times they claimed Abraham as their father. They were so proud of that. They could look back on all of that spiritual heritage and think, oh my, we've got it made. We're Jews. We've got such a history. We've got such a heritage. We're great. And they didn't recognize who Jesus was when he declared, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You're not even 50 years old. And Abraham saw you. They didn't understand it. God, help us to understand what the Lord is able to do, how he's able to change us, how he's able to make us what he wants us to be. Praise God. And to recognize God can do that work. Jesus was on his way into Jerusalem, what we call the triumphant entry. It's almost an incongruous, a paradox. How can it be triumphant when he's going to be crucified? How could it be such a thing of praise and wonder when they would cry out, crucify him? But that's exactly what happened. He's riding on a donkey. He's entering into Jerusalem. There's praise. They're worshiping. The Pharisees wanted him to rebuke the disciples. And he answered, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He can turn stones into praisers. Amen. And thank God. The Lord has put a praise in your heart. The Lord has put a dance in your step. The Lord has put a clap in your hands. The Lord has done something, amen, that elicits a praise from you that you give willingly, that you make time on a Sunday morning to come to the house of God and you're going to praise him. You make time on a Thursday evening to come to the house of the Lord and you're going to praise him. Hey, my friend, I'm not going to let any rock take my place. I'm not going to let any stone praise the Lord in my place. I want to worship the Lord and exalt his name and lift him up because he is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my worship. He is worthy of my service. He is worthy of the relationship that I could give him. Oh, thank God for what he is able to do. Amen. Stand with me now. Praise God. Praise God. Paul and Barnabas were on a missionary trip. The people thought, oh, this must be Jupiter. This must be Mercury. They thought they were gods. Paul and Barnabas said, No. We're just men, just like you. We're people, but we're preaching. We're preaching. He didn't belittle the preaching. He clarified who they were and what they were and said, no, don't offer sacrifice to us. I mean, they were going to offer sacrifice to him. No, don't do that. But here's what we want you to do. Turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Turn from things that don't matter. And turn to the one who is all powerful. Praise God. He created all things. And he can create in you a new heart. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that kind of power. See, Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul knew the value of turning. He could look back on his life and recognize that he had done so many wrongs. He'd gone in the wrong direction so long. He had done things that he was not proud of. He knew the value of turning. He knew the value of changing. And he knew his purpose was to reach out to all the people that he could preach to and open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. This is what he told the king in Acts 26. This is what I came to do, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God and the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how can you value, how can you put a price on the forgiveness of sins? How can you affix a monetary value from getting up from an altar of prayer and the pool of tears is there, but you walk away feeling so clean? You feel so light. You feel so forgiven. You can't find it on a shelf. You can't order it online. It's not there in the catalog. You find it in Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. And he can turn stones into bread. Yes, he can. But what he really wants is to turn your sadness into happiness. To turn your misdirection into guidance that he could give. To turn your guilt into joy. Praise God. To turn your confusion into the guidance that only he can give. Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want him to turn our men into spiritual powerhouses for him. Amen. Amen. Not just going through the motions. Not just being weary from a week of work and then come dragging into the house of God. I know it's difficult. I know it's not easy. But I believe God can turn our men into spiritual powerhouses. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of our women, all of our teams can be turned into what God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Satan mocks. Satan laughs, just like he tempted the Lord. Oh, you think you can be turned into a powerhouse for the Lord? Oh, you think you can become something in your school? You think you can be more effective on your job? Ha, ha, ha. Satan mocks. But oh, our God does the work. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Let's come to a place of prayer here now. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's come stand before God and just let him minister to us. God, I want you to turn me. God, I want you to change me. God, I want you to do a work in me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Do that work, God. Hallelujah. 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 Do that work, God. Oh, Jesus, turn my pain into power. Oh, God, turn my sickness into a spiritual well that I can draw from God in your power. Turn, Lord God, the things that are troubling me right now into the terrific blessing that you want me to have. Oh, yes, Lord. Come on, reach out to the Lord together. Reach out to the Lord together. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Power and